Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Hour 2, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Patriots Friday, but we will get into the Bruins. Another win last night.
Wow.
Break them up, Keefe.
They're playing well.
I hate to say it. They might actually be good.
They're 7-3 at home.
7-3 and 9-7
overall
home.
After that 6-game losing streak. They've completely turned
around.
That's
a lot of home games already.
10 home games.
Fattening up on the home games, maybe.
A little bit.
But okay. That's 5 in a row and 6 out of 7 for the Bees. We'll get to them coming up.
Yep.
A lot of suggestions and omissions.
Well, for the last time, Captain Crunch is an 18th century naval captain.
Yeah,
he's not a pirate.
Our pal Jimmy Toscano was another one to send in. Captain Crunch?
Yeah, no. I don't think he's a pirate.
No, he's not.
I don't think he'd want to be referred to as a pirate.
No, I think he'd probably lose his job in the Navy if he was a pirate.
Yeah.
I don't think that would go very
well. I mean,
there
could be an easy kind of offshoot of that. Like maybe. But.
I'm being informed that Carmen Lovano was not a pirate. She's actually captured by the pirates and in pirates.
All right, you got to change your list then.
I got to go with Jesse Jane.
Maybe she became a pirate.
I got to go with Al.
Well.
There are a lot of pirates right around it, I can tell you that.
I'm sure.
All right. Let me tell you, $10 Shake had a great one.
Which
by
one?
The way, Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball.
Oh, that is a really good one.
That's a great one.
He was a pirate. He thought he was a pirate.
The man was a pirate.
Good one.
A lot of suggestions for Blackbeard. I don't know that came up, Keith.
Blackbeard is a real pirate, and he's like maybe the most famous real pirate.
Yeah.
Blackbeard.
Okay.
Great name, too.
Captain Hook is one that we were talking
about. Yeah, Captain Hook's
good
one.
And then we're getting
a
lot of this. Let me read this one. Had to pull over on the highway just to send this.
Appreciate the safety.
How does Roberto Clemente not make the top 5 pirates list?
He was sixth on my list.
Yeah, he's an honorable mention.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't make my list. I went with Andy Vince. Like, you went with who?
Barry Bonds.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's a crowded list.
It's tough.
So we didn't get Clemente in there.
Mm-hmm.
Our pal Coach up in New Hampshire says a Pirates and Patriots take.
Oh, one of each.
Go ahead, Coach.
What do you got, Coach?
Yes, someone stole my thunder. I was going to say Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball.
Good one. How about that, Coach?
Good one, Coach.
But now I'll back it up with Pop Douglas' father, Willie Pop Stargell. He was pretty good. Anyway, here's my Patriots take.
Sure.
12 sacks is very concerning in the last 2 weeks. We can blame it on the O-line. We can blame it on Drake May, no doubt about it. I'm going to put a little blame on Josh McDaniels. Here's why. With the wideouts we now have, there are no wide receiver tunnel or jailbreak screens. I would love to see a screen, actually, for the tight end. I don't think there's enough play action pass. I think you got to slow down a pass rush with the screen game. That's on Josh McDaniels. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thanks, Coach.
Good stuff. He wants tunnel screens this week to the tight end. You'd throw it to who?
I probably wouldn't throw it to the tight ends.
Okay, but if you were?
Oh, Hunter Henry.
Hooper.
Our guy. No, Hunter Henry.
Hooper.
I said Henry.
Yeah.
Either one.
I am interested in the wide receivers. Josh McDaniels talked about Kyle Williams yesterday on the heels of that odd exchange with Drake May that we played for you yesterday.
Yeah.
So we'll get to the receivers and who steps up without Kayshon Booty, if anyone. Coming up in, a little after high noon, we'll do that. We also will get you the Week in Review, 12:45.
Oh, baby.
Keith's keys to Pats and Buccaneers. Yeah, you may want to go grab those.
They're down the hall.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, Milton Williams on a Patriots Friday, 1:15-ish, perhaps in the grab bag.
Okay.
Stay tuned. And we'll do the Friday 4-pack coming up about 25 minutes.
Yeah,
right
it's
now.
A busy day.
But the Bruins win 3-2 in overtime.
These guys, and they beat old friend Linus.
They did beat Linus. This is an Ottawa team. They lost to 7-2 the last time they played them. In fact, it's their only loss in the last seven games.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it was after that one, too, where I think a lot of the gagging for Gavin talk came up. And it wasn't just me. Now, they didn't always use those terms.
I mean, it was mostly you.
I was trying to get that off the ground.
Yeah.
No, but John Puchegross, who covers the NHL, was like, Bruins are terrible tank.
He was doing play-by-play in an NHL game, and he was like, the Bruins should gag for Gavin. Yeah, he did say that. I remember saying that. Yeah.
I was like, you don't need to say where you heard it from. Just say, you know, that's the thing that people are going with. No, but he even took to Twitter and was like, the Bruins are terrible. They should tank.
Yep.
So it wasn't just you and me. It was others saying that as well. And it was at that point because, you know, their defense was terrible. Their goalies weren't playing very well, and they weren't really scoring goals outside of Pastrnak. And then they have completely flipped it over the last 6-7 games. And one thing that we've said this whole time is it wasn't like for a lack of effort. It wasn't like all of a sudden they showed up and they're like, now we want to play. It felt like they just, I don't know, they weren't super talented during that stretch. And it's not like they got more talented overnight. Now, they did get Hampus Lindholm back. That does help. I think sitting Mason minus Lowry has been a factor.
I mean, if you want to draw the line to one specific move,
pretty good move by the Sterminator.
Sturm made. He initially benched Swayman for two straight games and went with Corpy. Maybe that woke up Swayman. So I draw a parallel to that too. But Lowry benched after that Ottawa game. They've won five in a row since. I mean, how do you not go back to that?
And because if you go back in time and listening to some of Marco Sturm's post games, he was calling out the team and talking about buy-in. So it was almost like he was putting that message out there, and he was almost like a warning, be like, all right, I'm going to make changes if everybody doesn't start doing what I want them to do. And then the one guy, maybe one and a half, right? Because he did sit Swayman an extra game than you would think. But then he came right back in, and he's been pretty good.
But again, I wouldn't rule out that got Swayman's attention. He sat him for two straight games.
And that was a risk because you don't know with Swayman and how fragile he is. That could have sent him for the whole season. There was like a chance that would have been like, oh, you don't believe in me? I'm going to go cry again. Like that was a possibility.
Yeah.
But thankfully, he didn't. And he had back-to-back pretty good game. Great game against Carolina. And they win that game. They've been rolling right now. And it seems like, I don't know, they got like a little bit of juice behind them right now. And they're still, like, they're willing to drop the gloves. I like that part of it. Not that, oh, where's all the fights? But, like, they're willing to stick up for each other. They don't take any crap from other teams.
I still think Zadorov is a big, giant stiff. But I did yeah. I did like him making fun of Islanders fans the other night.
Yeah,
you see
great.
That?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, your place was a, how did he refer to it? Like an empty barn or whatever he said.
Yeah,
I don't remember
his
exact wording.
There. Yeah.
But, yeah, it was quiet in there
because
fans were chirping him. And so I at least like him getting his back up a little bit. There was the game a few weeks ago, I think, against Buffalo or a handful of games ago anyway, where he was chirping at the guy on Buffalo. He didn't do anything about it.
Yeah,
they didn't drop any gloves. But he was
a big
chirping
guy,
at him.
Sometimes big guys just have to say stuff.
And so, look, I'm still not a fan of that signing, that contract, or him, really.
No, but you're stuck with him now.
But a little bit of their backup in that one. So the Bruins have won five straight. What should they do with the goaltenders? Do you keep doing two on, two off? You give Corpy the game against Toronto tomorrow?
No.
In Toronto? You're giving that one to Swayman.
Well, I think they only did two for Corpy once. Right? He's only started back-to-back games once.
But it was the start of the win streak. They went two Corpy, two Swayman, one Corpy.
Yeah.
So what do you do next?
True. Well, they don't play till tomorrow, right? So it's not like a back-to-back. It's in Toronto. And then they don't have a back-to-back. They don't play again until Tuesday. So I don't know. I'd probably go Swayman. Because if you go Corpy today.
For both Toronto games?
No.
For one of them.
Oh. Yeah, I go Swayman for both Toronto games.
So you'll
and then I'll let Corpy go back against Ottawa. That'll be the next one. Because also, the way the schedule breaks, if you play Corpy the next two games, it's like a week in between games for Swayman. I don't think I want to do that. Because I think Swayman's still the better goalie. You want to get the most out of him. I think, and then can you say maybe message sent? Like, hey, this is what we're going to do. And it's still going to be, I don't want them each to play 41 games. I don't think that's the best interest of the team.
I didn't coming into the year, but they really haven't been that different, Keith. Swayman's 5-4, 310 goals against, 897 save percentage. Corpusalo, 4-3, 324, 885. So they're pretty similar. I mean, Swayman's been slightly better, but not by much. No, coming into the year, I didn't want them to split their time.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but if they do, it's going to be one goalie, and it's going to be Swayman, I would assume. So, I would want to...
You got to pick a guy then, for sure.
But, even before then, I feel like in the amount of money you're paying him to, I would sort of, hey, we did this, we tried this, we sent a message received, it seems like, so I'm going to go back to Swayman for two, Corpy for one. Then, depending on how back-to-backs and the schedule lays out, you can alter that a little bit. But, I think by the end of the year, it'd be closer to like a 50-game, 30-game thing. Corpy's still going to play a lot.
That's what I thought coming into the year. Now I think
you want to change it?
Well, the way they're playing right now, I'd stay with the two on, two off, quite frankly. I'd start Corpy on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then give Swayman two. I think that seems like it's working. So I'd stick with it while it's working. 617-779-7937. Are the Bruins actually good? You can discuss there, Keith.
They're tough and they're entertaining.
You just said, I agree. They are entertaining for sure. They're worth your money right now and the Celtics aren't. We said that earlier in the week. I'll stand by that. You just said you still don't think they're a playoff team.
No.
So you don't really think they're that good?
No.
Okay.
No, not yet. But they're better than I thought. Yeah, so you know what? In a weird way,
we thought they were in the mix for the number one pick, so they're also better.
Right? Yeah. And I think they're not they might even just play too hard, and then they might have too much top end talent, and even a guy so you obviously have Pastrnak, who's like an MVP candidate. You have McAvoy, who should be like a Norris candidate. If the goalies aren't bad, I'm not expecting them to be like top end goalies, but if they're better than that, and then you're getting good performances here and there from Geeky and the Hamper, that's not a number one overall pick bad team.
No.
I don't think. And so they're playing hard. I just wonder over the course of a long season, they might be in that bad place where you're not a playoff team, but you're not at the bottom and you're second team out of the playoffs. You're ugh. I don't know. That's tough. Where it's you're not bad enough. And also you have a first year coach who's gonna try to win every single game. I don't think you're bad enough to be considered one of the worst teams in the league.
And I guess that would be disappointing if that's what they are, first team out of the playoffs, second team out of the playoffs at the end of the year. But as you just said, that I wouldn't then turn around and criticize them and be they should have tanked, they should have gone to the bottom of the league. I'm okay with them making a good, honest effort at trying to make the playoffs. They don't have a good roster. They have some good players. McAvoy was a monster last night, at least on that final shift. I want to get into it.
Yeah.
But I think their roster is lacking. If they don't get into the postseason, I'm not going to fault the players or even Sturm for that, and I won't look back at Sweeney and Neely and say they should have tanked. I'll say they should have built a better roster,
right,
and I'll criticize them for that, but I won't say they should have, as one man put it, gagged for Gavin.
No, I'm going to put the graphic on ice, the little meme I made with Gavin kind of looking back knowingly. The Eastern Conference right now.
This is what we might say something similar.
Not a lot of separation. The top team in the East has 20 points. The worst team in the East has 14 points.
And the games have started to level out. We keep referencing how many games in hand or out of hand
the
Bruins have.
They've still played more than everybody.
But they keep winning. If you keep taking two points every night, all of a sudden that it doesn't look as drastic. So they're only 4 points up on the worst team in the East, Buffalo, and they have two games out of hand. So Buffalo, technically, they win their next two, could catch right up to the Bruins.
Yeah.
The Bruins are also only 2 points out of the best record in the conference.
So I'm saying the 20, the worst place team wins three games in a row, and next thing you know, they're right there with the top team, whereas there's already more separation in the West. Top team in the West has 21 points. The bottom team in the West has 10. So already a big discrepancy in that team sucks, that team's good. And it's early November. Whereas the Eastern Conference, I don't think we're really there yet. And, if you even want to take it one step further and look at something like goal differential, the worst goal differential.
They're still negative, right?
The Bruins are minus one.
Yeah.
But the worst goal differential in the Eastern Conference is minus five. In the Western Conference, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams that have more than that.
Wow.
So just this year, early on, 13 up to 16 games into the year, the Eastern Conference looks like it's wide open. The Western Conference already looks like it's pretty much determined who their good teams are.
One mention here in the Twitch chat about Charlie McAvoy. It says McAvoy will never be in the Norris conversation. I think that's in reference to
he
you.
He has been.
Well, so that's why I wonder what the, and I was going to ask for clarification on that. Do you mean he'll never be in it again? Because he may not be. He didn't get any Norris votes last year, but he had Norris votes in five straight years going into last season.
What's his highest finish?
Four.
Okay. And
in
then
2022. Like, so he was 5-21. He was 10-20. He was 4-22.
So technically, are the finalists, they do like three finalists for each award. He's close to being a finalist. I mean, being regarded as a top five defenseman in the league is pretty good.
Yeah,
like,
so
I'll take that.
Here's the thing. I think as recently as like a week ago, I was probably saying he's not worth this contract. And maybe he isn't. He's probably still overpaid. That shift last night that he had at the end of the game.
This he's capable of.
They almost scored on the first one. They maybe should have scored on the first opportunity. He wrapped around the net again, or wrapped around the net and went for a second go at it.
Uh-huh.
And was able to, I thought initially, beat Allmark. It was Zaka who ended up getting the goal. But yeah, no, that was a monster shift with 5 seconds to go to win that game.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so I think that's one of those guys, when you see him, and you know, going back to a couple of years, even in like the Four Nations before he got hurt, you're like, this guy should be one of the best defensemen in the league, and like overall defensemen too. You know, I think people are talking in the Twitch chat about how like they give that award a lot to the, like, whatever guy scores the most points.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's not really like
his career high.
Eric Karlsson's won a bunch of them.
Yeah.
He doesn't even play defense.
His career high in points was 56. That was the year he finished best in the Norris. So, yeah, it does correlate to
but
points.
But he should be a good combination, like more of like a prototype defenseman where he does a little bit of both. He's not a guy that's not going to have any points, but he's also not going to be a guy that is, you know, leading the league in assists or anything like that.
617-779-7937. You guys can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. Danny and Braintree wants to talk about the Bees. Go ahead, Danny.
Danny.
Hey, guys. Danny from Braintree. Couple things you guys already know. When they had Swayman and Almack, typical Jacobs, they should have got rid of one of the goalies. That's step one.
Wait, say that again. Danny, they shouldn't have
They should have got rid of one of the goalies. That was the ridiculous. It was just, you haven't seen that in years with two goalies.
They got rid of one of them. They played against him last night.
Yeah, but not. No, way too late though. They had a chance. You know, during that season, they should have never done that. That's all. I'm not arguing.
Tried. He had a no trade clause. But go ahead.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. So sorry about that. Okay. Skip that. So right now, as we look at the team, they look like the Providence Bruins. They're gonna be terrible. You got to get rid of Swayman. You got to get another defenseman to complement McAvoy. And we need another forward. I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe you guys have more insight, but that's my goal. I mean, I played Braintree High Hockey in Stony Hill College. I watched the team.
Do you know Tarp?
Hell yeah.
And I watched the team.
I had a buddy go to Stony Hill.
Sorry about that.
Did you play?
I wasn't going pro, though.
Okay.
I was saying, just missed.
You didn't know Tarp. Okay. I didn't know if he played on the Braintree baseball team that went against Cam Schlittler.
Oh, you go against Schlittler?
Yeah, I didn't know. But it sounds like you were playing hockey.
No, my boy Vinny Joyce was a shortstop for the Braintree High and White Sox. He was really good. He was touted, and Scott Creedon is a family friend. He was almost going to make AAA baseball. He got hit by a line drive pitcher, and it kind of apprehended his career. But he's a great kid. He's doing well. He's coaching out in Oklahoma.
Okay, well,
I just want your take. Red Sox, baby. So I just want your take on the Bruins. If you back me, if you disagree, and I'll shut up and listen to you guys.
Okay.
So you guys have a great weekend.
Great stuff. You have a great weekend Danny.
Danny, good stuff. Good Braintree intel there.
Call anytime.
I'm happy to hear Scott is doing well. I think his name was Scott.
Yeah, sure.
Would you trade Swayman for forward help? I think is ultimately what he was saying in there. Trade Swayman. They need another forward. Let's combine those two. Would you trade Swayman for forward help?
I mean, I guess tell me who the forward is.
I don't think you're going to get anything.
I don't think you're going to get much right now for Swayman.
David,
I think you have him.
I don't think he has much trade value. Let's back it up. Forget the forward part. Would you trade Swayman?
Yeah, I would. I mean, obviously with any of these guys, it'd be like, what for? But like, yeah, of course. Of course I trade him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's tradable. I just think who's going to
want him? Yeah, what are you going to really get? So at this point, no, I think your best bet is to just try to get the most out of him. And I don't know, like, today doesn't seem to be the day to be like, they're terrible. They look like the Providence Bruins. Like, they can't lose right now. Like, they're on an absolute heater. They won five straight games.
If you're saying you don't believe in it and it's a mirage, fine. And I'd say their start to the year would be something I could point to.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, they're probably not as good as they look. I mean, deep down, that's my belief. I don't think they're this kind of team. But the real mirage, if you look at the way they played this year, was a six-game losing streak. They started 3-0. They've won their last five. In the middle, they were horrible. But, I mean, the real mirage was that six-game losing streak. Other than that,
yeah,
and I don't just mean to brush that aside.
Take that out. Okay, Ray Kroft.
No, but I'm saying, but they've had two long win streaks in there. Like, the real thing that hasn't been consistent was the losing streak.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think for them, you just keep doing what you're doing. You know, you sit low, ride down, you play everybody else as long as they're healthy and see where it goes. I think the next question will be for Sturm, what does he do goalie-wise? Like, does he go two each, or does he sort of say, all right, we're going to get back on track to what we were doing before?
Two each. That'd be my plan. You're going back to Swayman on Saturday, tomorrow, against Toronto. You can discuss 617-779-7937. We get all your feedback there. We will get back into the Pats and Bucks at high noon on a Patriots Friday. Our thoughts on the game. Who's got a better chance to win the Super Bowl? Which quarterback you taking out of those two? Plus, with the Broncos losing last night, what does it say about the playoff picture in the AFC? We got the week in review for you, 12:45. Keys to Pats and Broncos on a Patriots Friday at 1 o'clock, plus the milkman, Milton Williams, in the 1 o'clock hour. On the way next, four-pack of questions every Friday. Friday four-pack.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather.
It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer for 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No disrespect to you, Ted, but the fashion just went up a notch with Razor getting here in studio. He must be on TV or something later. Got a nice suit on there, Razors. That's too nice to get barbecue sauce on.
It's. I'm not as casual as and good looking as Ted. I can't eat barbecue because it's gray and it'll inevitably be a disaster.
You know, what I'm always amazed with when I run into an NHL guy is how lean they are. There's just not an ounce of body fat. I just look at this son of a gun. He's been out of the game for a while. He's still like leaned up.
Did you size him up?
I sized him up.
Oh, you did.
Ted always sizes up the ex-athletes, the guests.
When we first started doing it, I gave him the handshake and the old on the shoulder.
What shoulder?
Yeah. I felt something there. It was good.
What shoulder?
But he's looking good, man, for sure. Thanks for coming in, bud.
No, it's the best. Love to see you guys.
And as you know, who else is looking good is Boston Bruins. We've kind of ebbed and flowed with these win streaks, losing streaks over the course of the season, but
now they're hot. They've turned a corner. My guy Marco Sturm, what do you attribute this little run to?
Well, a few things. The resiliency, I think, that this group has, that they went looking for in the summer, the players we talked about that they brought in, they talked a lot about P&V, and I think mm-hmm. this is kind of what that is to get through those tough spots, not pout, not feel bad for yourself, continue to work. When it comes to Marco Sturm, I think what we just saw over the first month of the season was exactly who he is. He's disciplined, he's consistent, he focuses day to day and does not deviate from that. He has a process. He has it. He wants to play defense a certain way. He wants his team to play a certain way. And if they lose seven in a row, he's not relenting. He's not changing anything. And he's been able to stick with it. And they've looked like, they look like a cohesive group the last 8 days.
P&V, one of my favorite sayings of all time. I love that. But I want you to listen to what Marco Sturm said. They played the Senators 5 games ago and they got walloped pretty good, 7-2. And this is what head coach Marco Sturm said after the game.
Mistakes of execution, how damaging are those and how fixable are those mistakes?
You either buy in or not. That's right there. That's the difference. If you just look at the Ottawa team today and they do it and we're not. And that's the game.
Do players respect the direct talk? Like no mincing around it. It's like, boom, just guys aren't buying in. And that... It seemed they responded well. You could almost see it going the other way, but they won the next 4 games after that.
Exactly. And yes, they do. Yes, they want directness. And that you're going to get that from Marco. Everyone, and we did talk to Brick this morning. I went to pregame, and he talked about just how honest and direct Marco has been in every single one of those interviews on Nesson after the game with him. There's no, if a guy makes a mistake, if a team's made a bad play, he calls it out. There's no way to get around that nowadays. Everybody knows exactly what's going on these phones. Everyone knows who's supposed to get criticized, who isn't. And I think for Marco to come in, he healthy scratched a guy like Casey Mittelstadt, who's a veteran guy making over $5 million a year in Utah. He responded instantly. His second line's been as good as that line the Bruins have had over the past 6-7 days. He's sat out Mason Lowe right now for the last 4 games. He made a decision after that Ottawa game. Guys aren't buying in. Mason Lowe is a bit of a casualty in that. But since then, Jonathan Aspero, guys come up from the minors. He's played 4 games in a row. He's won 4 in a row. Everybody's accountable. Now, Mason's going to get back in the lineup at some point, but the bar's been raised for him. If you're a professional athlete, you completely get that.
Oh, yeah.
Loud and clear, and you need to step up your game. So I just, and that will only make the organization better. That keeps everybody accountable all the way through.
He's also managed the goalie situation. Last time you were in, right, we were talking goalies, and we were talking that Swayman missed a couple. When would he be back? How would he handle it? Well, he's been back for 2, and the other night I thought he was awesome.
He was. Carolina was great. Fantastic game against Carolina, and that's a tough game. That's a really tough game because you get smoked 7-2. It wasn't completely on him, but you're the goalie. You should have made a couple more saves. You give up 7 goals. You're not good enough. Korpisalo comes in, wins the next night. Then they go back to him Thursday night, wins again. Okay, now I'm the big guy. Now I'm the one who's supposed to be leading this team, and I just sat out for 5 days. I have to watch Korpisalo win 2 games, which is great for me. We want to get in the playoffs, but on that competitive side, I have to show on Saturday. I have to elevate my level. I have to be accountable. And that's, again, I think that's some of the stuff that has been just automatic with the Bruins culture. It slipped a little last year, and they're trying to get back to that. And that's just Swayman over the last week is another example of that.
It's no surprise. Swayman's playing a little bit better, but also the defense in front of him in this last game against the Islanders. I mean, they didn't have a shot on goal, I think, for the first 15 minutes of the game. Do you attribute that to just Hampus coming back, or are they starting to figure out this new defensive system they're running? Is they're getting more comfortable with that, or did Hampus have that much of an effect on the defense?
It's both. But I think Hampus leads you into having better defensive structure. They're 6-1 when Hampus is in the lineup.
Okay.
That isn't coincidental. And the only loss is when he came back the 1 game against Colorado, which no one's winning in Colorado this year. He just sets everything perfect too, right? So So the back end now with Zadorov and McAvoy. Zadorov has been as consistent as anyone the first month. He's been fantastic. He's stayed out of the box. He's been physical. He's intimidating. He lines up well with McAvoy. Then you have Lindholm, who can take a lot of defensive zone faceoffs. He can go down to the third pair. He can go be with Peak for most of the time. And then Jonathan Aspro, we talk about him as well, who came in for Mason Lowry after the Ottawa debacle. He's a pro. He's a 25, 26-year-old guy. He's been in the minors. He knows exactly what's expected to him, and he doesn't want to give this opportunity up either. So him and Joki Haru have paired off well. So that Lindholm just solidifies everything. But I also think when Marco talked about buying in, I think you see that, okay, this... we're not playing a different system. This isn't last year or 4 years ago. I have to get my head wrapped around that this is what we're doing. And I have to buy into that. And if I have to be a little conservative in doing that, then that's what I'll do defensively.
You mentioned Zadorov and how consistent he's been. Borderline crazy. I watch him and he reminds me a little bit of Rodney Harrison. Like, you hate him when he's on the other team, and then when he's on your team, you're like, that's awesome. The Schaefer kid the other night, when he was great. Down on his knees, it was like he executed the kid. It was like down on just boom.
Yeah.
But what has he brought beyond just his? It seems like this is a team that likes to be wants to be old school, physical, yeah. Bruins, blah. Seems like he's at the center of that.
He is. And that's why they brought him in last season. And that's what he's been known to do. He's a veteran guy in the league, he's played on five different teams. And he's an intimidating guy. Like, he's a monster out there.
Oh yeah,
and he love he's it. He you know he's got an edgy character to him, and he's just a you know he's there's not many mean guys left. He's right at the top of the mean guys left in the NHL, and like that's why I love. I'll go back to exactly what, but like that Schaefer thing with the 18-year-old kid, like that was automatic when I played in the NHL. Like, if you're an 18-year-old, you expected to get like roughed up once a game like that to. Just to prove that you're in the NHL.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that was to me. We're killing that penalty all day, and the rest of the league kind of takes notice and appreciates that, and appreciates Schaefer pushing back, too, as an 18-year-old. That's what you have to do. You have to stand up to guys like that. So, but when it comes to Zadorov, I think last season, at the start of last season, he was doing a lot. And when he gets doing a lot, then sticks are in the way and penalties get taken, and he was just – there's just too many minors, and it snowballed him. But after Christmas, he was as solid as anyone on the back end. He's carried that into this season. I think he's really, really controlled, playing with a lot of control right now. And when he does that, he can find his hits and he can find his spots to be physical rather than running around. It kind of comes to him rather than him going to get it.
Let's talk about who had a guy that had a great game the other night against Islanders. Who's Nutsoff?
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Well done.
Okay. He's getting an opportunity because with Elias out of the top line, some playing time in that top line. What do you think about him, how he's looking, and just how he looks on that number one line now?
Yeah, they were putting a bit of a – they're putting a bit of a difficult position because the centers were lining up well with Elias Lindholm at first line. Then they moved Zacha. That, when Mittelstadt came out, Zacha's moved to the middle. Mittelstadt's on the wing now. That's really set that second line. So now you have – Lindholm, you've got Zach on the second line. Frazier Minton, the young guy's done extremely well, continue to progress kind of every game. And then you have Sean Corrales, the fourth line. So what happens is when Lindholm comes out of the lineup with an injury, you don't want to disrupt the second line with Zacha. You don't want to, Minton, you don't want to put up on that first line. And then you don't want to move around Corrales. So the bottom three centers, you don't want to touch. So you have to go to a guy like Khustadinov, who's played a little bit of center. And you have to rely on David Pastrnak, who drives that line. He drives mountain many guys. There's three guys in the league that drive from the wing. David's one of them. And Khustadinov fit in perfectly in that respect, in that, okay, play well defensively, but go get the puck. You don't have to be the centerman in the middle of the ice all the time. Geeky can come over to the middle a little bit. David can do a little bit of that. Just go get the puck and get those guys the puck. And he has a ton of energy. And the great news for him is that he's showing off a little bit of skill and a little bit of offensive flair with this opportunity, scoring the overtime winner, getting the shootout. So now you can play with you're playing with house money a little bit, right? Yeah. And you can play with a little more confidence. So good on him for another guy like what we've talked about, a few other players taking advantage of an opportunity.
Can I, real quick, I want to intervene. The shootout.
Yeah.
What are the rules on, like, can you just skate everywhere you want to skate before you, I mean, can you do anything you want to before you get to the goalie?
As long as you're going forward.
As long as you're going forward.
As long as you're going forward. So you can come to almost a dead stop. You can go all the way outside.
You can fake it,
you can fake as long as everything's moving forward, you know, millimeters.
So, gotcha. Okay. What did you have the most trouble with as a goalie? What do you hate? Because there's guys, some guys are like snails.
Yeah.
It's real slow. Other guys, a little speed, a little quicker. What do you think is the most effective from a goalie perspective?
It's player to player. What makes guys so, because there's video, right? Like even when I played, I watched video of it. So if a guy had three different progressions off exactly the same pattern. So there was guys like I knew what a guy was going to do by the way he picked up the puck. Because he would do three different moves. Yep. So if he did it one way, but the guys that were difficult were the ones who did the exact same pattern, but could go forehand, or they could go forehand backhand, or they, you know, like, so it's the guys that have three progressions off of the same route that were always the most difficult, because you have to be a little more patient.
Andrew Razor Raycroft here on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. So I think the second time you were here, we were talking a lot of captains. Yeah. And we're not really talking about it now. The team is winning. We are giving Marco Sturm credit for whatever buttons he's pushing. So is it safe to say that whole there is no captain leadership question is not really an issue right now?
No, it isn't. And it really shouldn't be. And I don't, you know, like they're going to lose three in a row or four in a row again at some point, right? So maybe it'll pop
up. You predicting that?
Yeah, I am. They've still got 70, we got 68 games left. That's something's going to happen. Yeah, 67 games, 66 after tonight. They're going to lose a few in a row again at some point. But again, I think this month is perfect for that question or that thought or that idea that everything's kind of under control. They won three, they lost seven, they won three. They're resilient. They've got a group in place that's getting themselves through it. Again, individually, I'm sure behind the scenes, they're all still trying to figure out exactly what they do or how they become have the C on the jersey. But there's enough guys in the room right now. If you go 7-8 and then come out of that, win four in a row, there's enough guys that have been pushing the right buttons, not just the coaching staff.
Last time we talked, Razor, the Bruins were dead last in the NHL in penalties and most penalty minutes. Now they're third to last, so they've gotten better.
And moving on up.
And they've won the last four games. Is that a coincidence, or is there something to just less penalties? This team's might lead to wins because penalties all over the ice for the first several games.
Yeah, they're shooting themselves in the foot in a big way. And I also think that it goes to how they're playing better defensively. So they're in better position and not likely to take a trip and call or not likely to get behind and get a stick in and a hook or a high stick. But at the end of the day, they got the message from the Ottawa game. They gave up four, they gave up four power play goals against the Ottawa Senators last Monday night. So this team tonight has a great power play, but they also play a style that causes you to reach, causes you to hook. So their structure, the Bruins structure that we've seen in the last four games will be under the microscope tonight. So I think it's been just as much about how they've played 5-on-5 rather than the fact that they just said, we're not taking penalties. I think it's their play that's dictated that a little bit.
Have you gotten whatever it is, 14 games in here, 15 games, whatever it is to this point in the season, have their highs been as good as you thought they'd be? Have their lows been worse than you thought they'd be? Have you sort of reassessed maybe the floor and the ceiling of this team? Are you getting any bigger picture vibes?
So, well, it's interesting. I think I would have said they would be 8-7 through 15 games.
Nailed it.
I certainly would not have predicted the way they got here.
We know. We've talked to you. You blew the Vegas thing. We'll just forget Vegas.
I had rose-colored glasses on. The 3-1 start at home. I was like, maybe let's really double down.
They're going
here.
Out to team bond. And,
No, that's a tough road trip, boy. Utah's no joke either. So not many teams are going to win. What did I say? 2-1 out there? Yeah, that's not, you know. So, but yeah, I blew that big time. I think the league's chaotic. Like, the league is at right now at NFL chaoticness in that literally in the Eastern Conference, there isn't a team under 500. The bottom of the last place team are the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
By the way, folks, yeah. Florida Panthers in the Eastern Conference are the last place team. They're 6-6-1. The best team in the conference is the Toronto or the Montreal Canadiens at 19-3-1. Florida 6 points behind them, which is a weekend in the National League. So, all that being said, is I think the Bruins have got themselves back into a good spot with these four wins in a row. I think at the end of the day, we're going to see a lot of inconsistencies throughout the entire league. There's the Islanders the other day, like they started 0-4, they went 3-0, then they went 0-3, and then they went 5-0. So it's like everybody's kind of doing the same. I think this is what the condensed schedule has brought to the NHL. And the good news for the Bruins, again, is that they didn't let it get away, because you could have let it get away, and now they've brought it back in, and now they're right in the middle of the mix again.
Let's be honest. I mean, that 6-game losing streak, it felt that the way the players were talking, Razor, I was surprised to hear how just down they were, and they just felt like they were beaten, and the season just started. I mean, I'm a little bit surprised that they've kind of recaptured their magic again. I mean, you heard all those comments.
Yeah.
Were you a little bit surprised to see where they're at, considering how they were talking?
So you guys know I'm really positive. I don't, I know how long these seasons are. I know how things can change, but that it wasn't so much the Ottawa game. It was the fact that the next night they played the Islanders and they gave up 2 goals in the first 6 minutes. Mm. I'm like, oh my God,
yep.
this could happen 68 more times. This really, I was really down after the first period against the Islanders for them to have lost 7 of 8, to get smoked by Ottawa and then come back and be lackluster. But, and it's a big but, is you see why I stay pretty positive, because things turn around in this league so quickly. It's really hard to go. It's really hard to do this with the NHL on a day-to-day basis, because things change so quickly. To say one day they're awful, the next day they're good, especially this season. So to answer your question, yeah, for the first time, even like, because I think last year it just kind of happened, and I was like, whatever. Like the season was over in a week last year. You didn't even think about it. Like they were good, and then all of a sudden they were the worst thing you've ever seen. This was the first time in a while, especially early in the season, I'm like, oh my gosh, this team doesn't have a clue at the end of that. And then they proved me wrong and win 4.5 in a row. So it's what the league is. It's what the league wants. And there's just a lot of parity.
And then the other night, Ted, we were talking about it. They went 15 minutes without giving up a shot. Basically.
Oh, right.
You go
from
a game where you give up 2 goals to not giving up a shot for 15 minutes. So there definitely is a little bit of an ebb and flow with this team. They feels like, you're right, they're still going to stay streaky. You mentioned Lauri, though.
Yep.
Where does that go? Where do you think that goes with him and his mindset, his role, everything that goes into that situation?
Well, he's going to get a great opportunity at some point. It's hard as a young guy. He hasn't had a lot of adversity, because his first year as a pro, he gets called up pretty early, and then he's with Charlie McAvoy in the Stanley Cup playoffs on the first pairing, and he's doing fantastic. They beat Toronto. Then he goes to Florida and plays the Stanley Cup champs, and he's taking all the minutes, and everything's great. And then last year, faced a lot of adversity, but it didn't really matter. Like, he had a good start to the season, and then the wheels fell off for him, the team. But no one really paid attention. When you're really bad in any pro sport, but NHL is the same, no one cares. Like, no one pays attention to you at all when you're last place. Mm-hmm. Now you've got the eyes, okay, what's his bounce back? What's the young guy? What's his bounce back going to be? And it wasn't a perfect camp by any means. It hasn't been a perfect start. So now you get the reset. So this is like his first National Hockey League reset. And everybody has it, all the way to Patrice Bergeron, Zdeno Chara, Brad Marchand took 39 games to score for, like, everybody has this early in their career, and you have to fight your way through it. So hopefully he's mad. Hopefully he's upset. Marco Sturm said it.
He said as much.
Hopefully he's pissed off. Like, if he isn't, like, if he doesn't come back pissed off, if he doesn't come back in the lineup and say, I'm never giving up my spot again, that's what you need. They're too often, especially now, is with the younger kids, they're entitled. It's an old man thing, but it's true. It really is true. And I think there's a little bit of that in the National League too. Like, I'm really good. I can skate as well as these guys. I'm entitled to this job. And if you can take that away from somebody just for a little bit and see what the response is, and put that into their game that they'll never feel that way again, that they could be Zdeno Chara and think that every single day the rest of my career I'm going to play like I'm going to get sent to the minors if I don't play good. If you get that in, now you'll have something. So hopefully that's what he's learned through this. He's going to be back in the lineup sooner than later, my guess is, and it'll be on him to show.
I think taking guys playing time away is one of the more effective tools to motivate.
Yep. It is.
I got to ask, did you see Ovechkin's 900th goal last night?
I did.
That was filthy, right?
Yeah.
But what was Binnington doing? What was he doing, man?
Stealing the puck. Just so good.
Is that you like that?
I loved it. So it's so funny because I do the NHL radio spot on the NHL radio like once a week or once every 10 days. And last season, the host and I had been talking all season, like, when Ovi scores this goal, I'm taking the puck. Like, and up, we were talking about, like, 890, 891. Like, if he scored any of those, I'm taking the puck.
Yep.
So the fact he actually did it last night was, I was late to the party. I was in the car. I heard he scored, and then I got home and saw him actually trying to put the puck in. It was unbelievable. Like, so good.
So you're to blame for it.
Yeah, I guess there's no chance he was listening to NHL radio, but somebody got to him. One of his buddies from back home probably told him, hey, dude, I want that puck. So
that's awesome.
That was really cool.
All right, so we know you're really good at predictions. You had Vegas. You have a three-game losing streak coming at some point.
Yeah.
7-2 loss to Ottawa tonight. What happens?
It's a hockey game tonight. It's definitely a hockey game tonight. Ottawa's been struggling as well, which is interesting. But I'll tell you, I say the Bruins, I'm not sure if this turns out to be like more goals than I think it does. Like, I'm not sure if you can really lock down Ottawa, but I'll say they went 4-3. How about that?
It feels like too many over. Goals, no, considering the over.
I am considering the over.
4-3 win for the Bruins. All right, Razor, we appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks,
we'll
appreciate
talk to you next week.
Awesome. Love it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll get back to the Patriots, the Bucks. Big game in Tampa Bay this weekend. Injuries are a major issue for both teams. We'll touch on that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because let's be honest. If shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
It is a Bruins Thursday, and joining us as he does on everyone, it is the voice, and perhaps you could say the face, of the Boston Bruins on Nesson, Judd Surratt, and that is brought to you by Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop, powered by Bauer, with the best selection of Bauer skates, sticks, and goalie equipment, 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington, online at sportsetc.net. Good morning. How are you, Judd?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, nice win for the fellas on Tuesday night, shootout win, and I think I said the same thing last week. I can't figure out what this hockey team is. Nobody can figure it out yet. Sometimes I'm hoping for a loss because I'm looking toward the draft, but they seem to be winning some of these hockey games.
Well, I think since that debacle in Ottawa, they've reeled off four consecutive wins. You know, and I think so. In the bigger picture, it's been defense. They played a much more structured game. The goaltending has obviously upped itself here. The special teams have been excellent, and they've spread out the scoring, and that's kind of equated to the wins.
But when you look at tonight's game, and it's against Ottawa again, what do you take from was 7-2 the last time that they played them? Like, that was probably one of their worst losses of the season.
It was the worst loss of the season. I think it's the only one, and Donnie Sweeney, who was on with us, I think, right after that game, he had mentioned, you know, if you look across the Bruins' losses, and they had gone through a skid there, that was probably the only game, he said, where it looked like we felt sorry for ourselves. And that was an issue for the team last year, that the team was not the hard out that the Bruins had expected, and things started to spiral. You know, when I think back to that game in Ottawa, the Bruins were essentially fine, I think, after the first 20 minutes. I want to say it was tied. It might have been one apiece. But then things started to unravel. In Ottawa, they have some skilled players. They lit the Bruins up on the power play. They scored four times on five opportunities. I think you'll see a much different game here tonight.
We always sit here and we talk about goaltending. Like you said, past couple of games, it's been really good, and it's kind of been both Corposalo and Swayman. I don't want to say a goaltending controversy or competition. Like, where are they going to go with their goaltending?
There's absolutely competition. There's absolutely competition, and that's what the Bruins want. Mm-hmm. They want these guys to push one another, and that's why, you know, I think one of the refreshing things here early in the season is some of the honesty that we've seen from Marco Sturm. And he said at the start of the season, and the GM Donnie Sweeney had mentioned it, that the way that the goaltending starts are going to be determined is part of it is going to be the schedule, and part of it is going to be how guys are playing. So I don't think that the Bruins, you know, and it wasn't Jeremy Swayman's fault that the team got trounced in Ottawa. But at the same time, okay, this is an opportunity to get Jonas Korpisalo in. And he took the ball and ran. But I think the whole idea is that they're there to push one another. And they felt that last year, that wasn't necessarily the case. So if you go back, and we're going to see Linus Ullmark here tonight, and his numbers are not very good, and he's certainly under some pressure in Ottawa. When he and Jeremy Swayman were here, they pushed one another, and it brought the best out of each of those tenders.
You're in a good spot right now, coming off four straight wins, but then you've got five divisional opponents ahead of you. What do you want to see at the outcome? Obviously, you know, best case scenario would you sweep the next five, but when you look at this actually, what is a good stretch for you in these five games?
I don't know if I can, you know, break down the numbers necessarily, but I think, listen, if you want to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, and especially coming out of the Atlantic Division, some of these teams that you're facing, especially the next two opponents, the Ottawa Senators and the Toronto Maple Leafs, two teams that made the playoffs out of the Atlantic Division last year, you're currently fighting for oxygen in those spots with those teams, you need to be able to take advantage.
Elias Lindholm, do you see him coming back in that five-game stretch? And what is the injury? I know Sturm's been kind of tight-lipped about it.
I don't know. You know, when we saw the hit both live and on replay, it looked like he and Jordan Greenway went knee-to-knee.
But it was weird because it was they went knee-to-knee, left-knee, and then when he was skating off, it was, I don't know if he bent his right knee back when he, because it seemed like the right knee was what he was favoring.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, listen, when I saw it, it looked like it was a knee issue. The Bruins have not confirmed or said anything in that regard. I have no idea. I really don't. The only thing that Marco Sturm had said was that the MRI that was taken confirmed their beliefs, but he wouldn't say what their beliefs were.
Yeah.
So how long does that take? Is it a knee sprain? I think the fact that we haven't gotten word that he's gone under the knife, at this point for whatever ails him is probably a good thing. How long it takes him to come back from that, where exactly the knee was damaged, that we have no idea.
When you look at the Bruins kind of throughout the season and you kind of look at them moving forward, I feel like the most important thing for them, it's going to be a grind because it seems like there's a lot of teams that are fighting for like all these spots. But the thing that they can't get into is where they go on these six-game losing streaks, four-game losing streaks. Is that something that they can stay away from, or is this like team going to be a roller coaster up and down?
That's what you're hoping. You know, I think that the way that they're built, Wiggy, is that they're supposed to be in every game, every night, if they defend and play to their identity. And that's essentially what you've seen throughout the first 15 games of the season, minus the game in Ottawa. So I think that we're going to see a lot of 2-1, 3-2, 4-3, which have been a lot of the wins that the Bruins have picked up here here in the last couple of weeks. So I think the saying in the National Hockey League is that good teams don't have long losing skids. So if the Bruins are going to show you that they're a playoff team, they have to avoid those.
Mm-hmm. Are they any closer to figuring out who the captain of the hockey team is going to be?
Not as far as I can tell. You know, I think that they've got a leadership group. They meet regularly. It's guys like David Pastrnak, Charlie McAvoy, Hampus Lindholm, some of the guys who are signed long-term. I know Elias Lindholm, Nikita Zadorov, Jeremy Swayman. They're all involved in the group, but I think that the organization in and of itself, and I don't know if it has to come this year, it may not come next year. I think they're waiting for one guy in particular to emerge. Being a captain is not easy, and I start to think about Zdeno Chara, who it's Hall of Fame weekend starting this weekend in Toronto. He's going to be inducted, the guy who played more games as a defenseman in the National Hockey League. It's pretty unique what he was able to do. Not only did he sign her as a long-term free agent, but he came in and he was immediately the captain. I can't think of a situation off the top of my head around the league where that's happened. And it's not easy, I think, especially in this town. I've had this conversation in the past with Chief Johnny Busick, that being a captain in Boston is a little bit harder than some of the other markets around the National Hockey League.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, That's kind of weak. Like, I don't, why? Like, what? I mean, what, like, give me a reason why. I mean, they've had captains every single season. You can't figure, like, look, you can't look at Charlie McAvoy and say that's the guy who should be the captain of this hockey team.
I think that they're waiting for someone to emerge. The Bruins, when you bring that up to
emerge, like, they're paying him $9.5 million. He's been here for 7 years, 8 years. I mean, that's
so shouldn't it be Pasta, though? I feel like Pasta should be the captain.
Pasta's been here forever. So, like, I don't know why it would be so difficult for him to be a captain in Boston.
Because he's too much of a happy-go-lucky party dude.
I think the other thing that the Bruins will point out is, okay, who was the captain in 1970, 1972? And they didn't have anybody that wore the C at that point. Now, there were some different reasons for that.
Only one of us in the room was alive then.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, but yes.
Who was it?
I mean, is it because they may be considering trading somebody that would be wearing the C? And
no, I don't think so. I think being a captain, and I'm not as familiar with the National Football League and how it works, and you have captains and guys that run your room and the responsibilities that they have. I don't know what that's like. You know, I can tell you, I think in the National Hockey League, it's not hard because you have to be able to look after your own game, but you also have to look after everybody else's game. And that's not necessarily easy. And when you talk about being a captain in this market, it's a little bit harder to do it in Boston than, with all due respect, than it is in Columbus.
But don't you think that they gave McAvoy that contract because they thought he would be a captain and he hasn't shown them enough to be given it?
I disagree. I think they gave him that contract because he's an elite National Hockey League defenseman and a guy who could potentially be a captain down the road. So that's why they gave him that contract. You know, when you talk about a guy like Charlie McAvoy in particular, I thought it was interesting. So the Athletic put out the NHL player poll, and one of the things that's listed in there is the hardest guys to play against in the National Hockey League. Charlie McAvoy's on that list.
Mm. He is?
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
But how many guys make what he makes and aren't a captain as defensemen?
I'd really have to look around the National Hockey League and be able to give you an answer. You know, I'm guessing Adam Fox is making that kind of money. I don't think he's wearing the C in New York.
Yeah, see, I asked Ray Bourque when we had, was he in or did he call in? And see, in football, it's different because the players, we generally vote, right? And most of the time, it would be the guy that the coaches would even vote for. And that's why I always, and I asked Ray that. I said, I feel like if the players voted, it would 95% be the same guy that the coach would say, okay, I think he'd be a captain. That's why I feel like Pastor is that guy. I feel like a lot of guys look to Pastor. They respect him on the ice. They respect what he does. They respect the way he carries himself. And I feel like the coaches would be like that as well. But in the NHL, it's more of a coach's decision.
Not necessarily. I think it, you know, it varies from team to team, whether it's the players, the coaches, right, the management that's involved in some of that decision making. You know, so it's difficult to say here with the Bruins. And you know, with respect to a guy like David Pastrnak, I think of what he was able to do last year after all the changes and all the tumult, and the season that he had and the way he conducted himself. I think you could have easily made the case for him to be the MVP in the regular season of the National Hockey League based on the way that the NHL defines it, most valuable to your team. Mm-hmm. And he was absolutely outstanding.
I also, though, if you look at Pasa, very popular player, but does he have that hard-ass captain mentality where he could, like, yell at guys in the dressing room? I just...
Maybe not.
Right.
But, like, you know, do you need that, though?
Language barrier. There could be a language barrier.
But did Bergeron have that, though? Every day.
I think Bergeron
I don't think Bergeron had that, like, I'm going to yell and scream at you. And neither did Marchand.
Oh, I bet some players were scared of Marchand and Bergeron. Like, they didn't want to disappoint them. I just don't know if Pasta has that same presence. Like, he is such a popular guy that people love, but does he have that captain ability? I don't know.
I mean,
I'm not
Bergeron was scared of Keefe. I mean,
I believe that was Marchand.
Yeah, it was.
But I think, you know, in the bigger picture, a lot of these guys, they grow into that role. You know, when you think of a guy like Brad Marchand in particular, you know, his first few years in Boston, I think if you look at the type of player he was, the way he played, what he was like, could you have envisioned him wearing the C?
No.
I think most people would say no.
He grew into that.
He absolutely grew into
it.
You know, yeah. I think that was being around some great leaders. It was also being around and tied to the hip with a guy like Patrice Bergeron. And there's no question he grew in. He was a really good captain. And I think after Patrice Bergeron left, I think Brad Marchand did a tremendous job of carrying on the tradition and what it means to be a Bruin in that room.
Some say this is the most important month in the NHL season, at least the first 8 months of it or 6 months of it, whatever. And Thanksgiving is not that far away. I hate saying it because winter's here. But what do you think when Cam Neely, Don Sweeney are looking at this team? Where does this team need to be in a couple weeks at Thanksgiving for them to not sell some parts of it?
Well, I think you still want to be in striking distance, you know, and I think most of these teams, while the marker is, you know, okay, you want to be in a playoff position by Thanksgiving in the United States, I think that some of those teams, Greg, when you see some of those teams that are maybe just on the outside, that doesn't necessarily mean that they sell immediately. You know, it has been a good harbinger of, okay, this is a team that's going to make the playoffs. You know, I know I've referenced Elliot Friedman in the past, and one of the things that Elliot likes to look at, you know, one of the most respected guys in Canada and around our game, he likes to look at how many points you're out on November 1st. And, you know, the league is so jumbled that it really doesn't have an assessment this year. So I think if the Bruins were in a position that they were far out of it, and I just don't see it at this point with Thanksgiving approaching, then maybe then you'd have to, you know, make a different assessment. But at this point, they're right in the thick of it, as are a lot of teams in the NHL. You know, and if you look at the standings, so Montreal's at the top. They have fewer regulation wins than the Bruins. They've cleaned up in overtime in the shootout. So that tells me that the Bruins can compete with every team that's in the Atlantic. They've already registered some quality wins, you know, against teams like Colorado or Carolina or Washington. So I think that they're going to be in the mix. And even if for some reason by U.S. Thanksgiving they are maybe a few points out of the playoffs, I don't think that that's going to change the calculus for guys like Donnie Sweeney and Cam Neely.
Judd, I think that, you know, the biggest question that people always want to know, whether it's the Bruins, the Celtics, the Red Sox, the Patriots, is this team good enough to not just compete for a playoffs spot? Is this team good enough to make a legitimate run?
That's a really good question. You know, I think at this point, I think that the furthest that the Bruins would go is that this is a team that they believe, if they play to their identity, can make make a run at a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about another step forward. So I don't know if they're necessarily at that point. But you have between now, and as Greg pointed out, you know, here we are in early to mid-November, and you've got the trade deadline that's going to take place months from now, and you've got some assets if you're in the system. You know, I think we brought this up last time. The Bruins have two first-round picks this year, two first-round picks next year. I don't know if they're necessarily going to take four guys in the draft. So I could see them using some of those assets to help them out and gain a player that would push them into that conversation. You know, plus, you know, they've got some young kids that are starting to populate their system. The Bruins actually, you know, they cranked out a prospect report. It's been really helpful for guys like me to be able to track, you know, some of the kids who are playing in college hockey, who are playing in junior, who are playing in the U.S. League, who are playing in Europe. They now have, they're starting to assemble some assets that they can use potentially to get them some players to get to that spot, Wiggy.
Okay. Well, we will see you on television this evening. Say hello to Brick for us.
I will.
Say hello to Sophia for us.
I will. Absolutely.
I don't know. I caught our guy PJ Stock the other night. I don't know.
He's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, his rough go the first night, but he was better, I thought, the second.
Hey,
night.
Anybody can do an easy game. you know?
Yeah.
Try and talk about it when the team's getting trounced 7-2. No, I love PJ, and he was regaling us with some stories after the game. I think the following day at the Garden, some of his bouts in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, he's got some great stories.
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah. All right, Judd Surratt, we will be right back.
Make a habit of it.
The Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
If I could, I would like to offer a little Odyssey app appreciation for those who listen to the show on the Odyssey app. That includes Joey Magnani, who I met last night and is every day, all day, every day listener of this show.
That's a hell of a name right there. I like that name.
You like that name? 7-year-old son is an everyday, all day viewer of the program on YouTube.
Oh.
And then Odyssey appreciation for Rob from Brookline, who just saw Brez at the Starbucks in Brookline moments ago. So probably over there. I don't know if they're installing the robot baristas. Is he a part of that, or what are they doing over there at Starbucks?
Is there any doubt that Ken stakes out that Starbucks so as to quote bump in to Craig Breslow?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if you live around here?
Yeah. I don't know if I could pull Brez out of a lineup. That's impressive, though.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
If you're at the Starbucks.
Yeah, just the guy sitting by himself.
Is that Brez right there?
You could pull him out.
In the Twitch chat, a question about whether he argues over the price of a coffee. I don't.
Brez, good morning.
He had a good offseason. I mean, he's, you know, it doesn't seem like he wants to cough up the big money for Alex Bregman. But
smart. Why would you want to pay Bregman $40 million a year? He's not worth $40
million. Well, I mean, nobody's really worth $40
No, but I mean,
million.
Well, I think Shohei Ohtani's worth it. And there are some guys that are definitely, you know, worth that type of money. I just think that because of the injuries that Bregman has dealt with, and I don't know what the number Bregman's looking for.
You're saying $40 million is too much for a locker room guy.
Yeah, way too much. And he had basically $40 million per year on the table for the next 2 years. And I'm like, all right.
So you give, when it comes to the way in which Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer, or you name the player,
mm-hmm.
the way that they developed, not baseball-wise, but, mm-hmm. you know, mentally.
Yep.
You give none of that credit at all to the experience of
I think
of,
it's disrespectful to give that credit to Alex Bregman. Like, we have no idea who those two guys are as personalities.
Right.
Like, that could be just who they are. Hard workers who want to succeed not only in the sport, but also be great clubhouse guys.
Okay, let's talk baseball part of it then. Didn't we have Jason Veritek talking on this radio show not so long ago about how it was Bregman who fixed Roman Anthony's swing?
I don't know if he fixed, he helped out. I think you get more from the coaches that might help with those younger guys, and where you get a guy like Bregman because he's still focused on him, and he might say, hey, you might want to tuck your elbow, whatever it tips.
No, it was the hands, and yeah, it was like Courtney's lead. The hands where they were placed on the barrel.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a big bet.
Yeah, and that's a good tip. I remember when I played, I used to go to a lot of...
What?
It was a big bet. It was 34 ounces.
Oh, I was laughing more at you saying, I remember when I played.
No, I do remember.
No, I know, but it's just like...
Oh,
we're jumping
well,
from
he wasn't
like...
Well, no. It was all city catcher.
Yes, no. I meant professionally, yes. And I went to veterans who... could give me tips and advice, right?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
right.
So I could see like a guy like Bregman saying, hey, you might want to do this, or like, you know, learning how to become a pro, right? Mm-hmm. And I get that. But I feel like that's not worth $40 million. You could get another veteran to come in and do the same thing, you know, and maybe a guy like
Schwarbs.
I'm saying like, who are some of the veterans on the team this year? That you would consider veterans that might be able to help.
Trevor Story.
Like, yeah, Trevor Story could do what Bregman was doing, or maybe he did
that. Personality, like, who's going to buy the young fella's new suits?
Right.
Like, that was Alex Bregman who did that.
And Bregman,
I can help him with that. I send him my boy Quazzo. Get you some new suits.
Oh, there it is. Bregman, Greg might need a suit depending on the fit later today. By the way,
need an alteration. Just right. If you could take it out.
Take
in the middle,
it out a
it'd
bit.
Be great.
You never know. Want to have room for dessert? Do you think the Veritek comment about Bregman was like a slight jab at the Driveline computer nerds?
Probably. Please call Driveline.
Probably.
So I'm not taking anything away from Bregman and what he could have been in that clubhouse.
You are cushioning the blow.
No, but I just don't think it's worth $41 million. A year for a guy that you're saying was a good locker room guy, you know, and you know,
partner,
and maybe we'll give you some, you know, is a, you know, good defensive player, give you something at the plate, but if he's not worth $41 million, and obviously he opted out because he must be wanting more than the 80.
Well, it's the length of the deal, I think. I'm assuming.
He's 32 years old, right, so, I mean, how many more years you want? You're pulling a Masha in here? It's like, all right, you got two more, and that'll take you to, what, 34? So now what do you want? Another
4 years.
Four years?
Yep.
It will just be crazy if we only had him for a season and we lost Rafi Devers at the beginning of it for him. Like, and I understand, you know, we can go back and forth on, was that the right decision? Was it not the right decision? Is he a bad clubhouse guy? But to lose a guy who people were massive fans of for a bit and was homegrown to a guy that we only got for one season and didn't even make it to a World Series.
Also, what we talked about it briefly yesterday, maybe a minute, but the more I thought about it, what is up with Tristan Casas and the vague booking on the Instagram with, you know, did you read that whole post from him?
What's vague booking?
It's when people go on, it's a term from the old show, when people used to go on Facebook and go, boy, you know, you find out too late that you can't really trust people. Like they don't say what.
Oh, subliminals.
The roster is beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, but subliminal tweeting.
Oh.
Did we not talk about that yesterday?
No.
Or was that in the office? Maybe it's Shime and I. I don't know. Read the post. Read it in its entirety.
If we're going to have any chance at something decent, it's stuff like this that needs to be addressed. I'm going to try to be as transparent as possible within reason, no delusion, just normalizing the tough conversation.
And then says nothing else afterwards. Right.
What a gigantic ass hat.
So that could be anything. I mean, what are we talking here?
Please trade him.
Can we be done with that experiment?
But that's out of nowhere.
Right.
Well, I'm guessing that he's bothered by the discussions about, you know, this team needs a first baseman and Breslow. Well, was it a couple weeks ago where Breslow basically said you're not, you know, you're not assured of who's going to be the first baseman, that whatever it was, because the guy's been injured.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right. And then when he wasn't injured, he stunk.
Yeah.
So I mean, Let's be honest.
Could you imagine bitching about delusion when you're in Worcester lying about saying that it feels like you're getting stabbed in the chest when you swing a baseball bat?
Yeah.
Imagine saying that and then demanding the people you work for give you the credibility and the honesty that you covet. Like, they literally had to send out a press release correcting what he said in Worcester about the pain management that he had.
Yeah, I don't
But you're going to say you're going to be transparent and things need to be discussed and then say nothing?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
You're looking for attention or what, like whatever it is. It's just, and he was the first one to, remember when he rushed to the podium to say that Rafael Devers is our third baseman and it's his position and blah, blah, blah. It's like, get him out of here.
He was setting the lineup before Cora.
Could you imagine wanting to talk to that guy?
No. It's like, I think Campbell should be hitting seventh, right? And maybe Story hits. Like, he was literally setting the lineup.
So ridiculous. Like, do you think you could get your, like, how many games might you possibly be able to be available for this season, Tristan? This is Eric from Lubbock, Texas. Hello, Eric.
Yeah, hi, guys. Hi, team. Y'all kill it every morning. I appreciate being connected to Boston down here in Texas.
Of course.
I am so far gone on Bregman. $40 million for a guy who hit .260, 18 homers, and missed 70 games due to injury, and that's not going to get better over the next 4 to 5 years. He is a 8 in a bar full of 4s. But if he's in a bar full of 8s, he's the 5. He's a good, solid guy. I'd give him 3 to 4 years, but look at the other players that are in front of him that are so much better around Major League Baseball. He's not worth $40 million. He might be worth 25 to 30, and that's what I would see. Yeah. I love you guys down here. I appreciate it. I'm going to be there for the Boston Marathon this year. My son is running.
Awesome.
And hopefully I can get in with you guys. Y'all take care. Thanks.
Well, Eric, some are suggesting that Texas is going to become the new New York.
Oh, really?
Because of the election of the mayor. So you may have an influx of people who are arriving in your state.
Well, because of Biden, we already have an influx of people arriving in our state every day. That's been done for the past 6 years, but that's fine. We'll welcome them as long as they're going to adapt to Texas and not expect Texas to adapt to New York.
I want to come down there and attend a fight at the grand opening of a Bass Pro Shop. If you could keep us up to date.
You are welcome here anytime, Greg Hill. Roadshow. Trace Leches for you and all your gang. You let me know and I'll set it up.
All right, Eric, thank you.
I love Texas too.
You did?
I mean, I've been
to.
Didn't
you get lost trying to get to the airport?
Yeah, I did. Houston.
Because of the edibles?
Houston, I did.
You didn't go to Bush.
No, I want to get a cowboy hat, but I feel like my head's too big for it.
No, I think you'd look good in a cowboy hat.
I don't know if they make them big enough for my head.
They could probably sew two together.
If they could, I would love that. But
He needs every bit of that 10 gallons.
Listen, I love Houston. I've heard Dallas is tremendous. Yeah. I've heard Austin is good.
Yeah. I've only ever been to Houston. I'd like to go to Dallas.
I just don't know how you fight in cowboy boots. They seem very slick.
It's because you can kick.
Right, but
it has like that steel toe that can really do some damage.
But they seem very slick, like
you know, in Hobbit, Texas.
All right. I would love to do a road show in Texas.
Coming up, Hill Notes. Leave one now on any topic on the Odyssey app, and we'll play the best ones back at 9:20.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.